Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The Colossian Christians were being afflicted by a group of misdirected folks. One thing for certain is, as you go out into the parish as pastor, vicar, deaconess, deaconess intern, you're going to meet some misdirected folk. I can certify that you will meet people who are misdirected on just about every side of the situation. Perhaps I might even use the term misdirected too benevolently. But as St. Paul wrote to the Colossians, he was concerned about some people, well-intentioned but misdirected, who were urging the Gentile believers to obey the ceremonial laws of the Jews, specifically the demand for the circumcision of males. In a context of our passage, Paul gives them the correct answer about regarding the proper understanding of this Old Testament act where circumcision sealed the covenant relationship between God and man. Indeed, to reject circumcision in the Old Testament was to reject any spiritual relationship with God. But now, after Christ's blood has sealed the new covenant, circumcision was a thing of the past. And God established baptism as the means of entry into this relationship with God, entry into the faith. And the believer is united to Christ through the sacrament, revealing that it is God's intent to tie the believer to Christ and what he has done. So St. Paul writes in chapter 2, verse 12, "Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead." Faith is created in baptism, and the active force in baptism is God, so God creates us anew in baptism. The water and the word made the difference, and this gracious work of God linked them and links us to Christ, delivering to us the benefits of his sacrifice on the cross and sealing unto us his victory over death in the empty tomb. By faith, which is established by God in and through word and sacrament, the new believers apprehend the benefits bestowed, forgiveness of sins, a new life, all created anew in and through Christ by the powerful working of God. Yes, even those Gentile outcasts could be made alive. As Paul writes, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses." Though they were dead in their trespasses and the old Adam, God made them alive in Christ. If God could raise the dead Christ, so too he could and did engender faith in the Gentile and bestowed forgiveness upon them through faith in the person and work of Christ. As he writes to the Ephesians also about this situation, "Therefore remember at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Being united to Christ in death and resurrection is God's gift, and it is in the sacrament. Not man's work, not man's sacrifice, not the shedding of the Colossians' blood establishes a new relationship. But God is the active agent. He recreates man in his image, and the holiness of God is there bestowed upon them and upon us. Dead in our trespasses and sins, God makes us alive in Christ, having forgiven all of our trespasses. You'll notice some interesting people in your ministry. There are some who think that they are better than everyone else because they have striven to lead a holy life, doing more at church. They may come to worship more often than others, but they always seem to be checking up on everyone else. They feel that God must love them because of their sacrifices, because of what they are and what they do. Then there are those who think that God can't forgive them. They can't apply God's word to themselves, that Christ died for sinners. They might say, God could never love me after what I've done. Both of these groups of people have a common problem. They think that their relationship with God depends upon them and upon their actions. Their sin and our sin does separate us from God, and we are indeed unworthy of God's love. But through God's grace, we believe that He does truly love the world and that He gave His Son as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. Through the faith that God creates, we realize that it is by grace, through faith, that we are saved. And that faith is the gift of God. Man is a tough nut to crack sometimes, but God has made us alive together with Him, having forgiven all trespasses. As 1 John 2 says, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. As Paul continued in his text today, he continued to demonstrate how God had forgiven sin. He says that God canceled the record of debt that stood against us with all of its legal demands. And this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. When Christ was crucified, burdened with the guilt of the entire world, an unimaginable burden, He paid the entire debt and secured a complete redemption for everyone. Therefore, as we're in Christ, there is no guilt to condemn us. The law no longer has power over us. Christ's death has brought us life. And not only that, Christ's death and His resurrection brings us the victory over our enemies. As Paul writes, He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. In Christ's death and resurrection, the power of sin, death, and Satan has been broken. No more can he accuse us. Oh, yes, he will try, but on the cross, he was beaten. He was overcome, and so Christ went to hell and preached to the souls there and proclaimed his victory. No wonder the Spirit caused St. Paul to write to the Romans, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? The answer to all those questions is this: Christ is arisen, and his victory is ours through the means that he has given us, not by our merits, but through word and sacrament. The benefits of his victory over the cross and the grave became ours, and thus in him we live, in him we overcome the adversary. He is risen, and in him we too shall rise. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.